Listen. Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, your Seahawks superfan. I've got a great crew tonight. We've got a good show coming up. We're going to start off with James, the Texan superfan, who has been traveling around the world, finally back in a place with the internet. How's it feel to be back in civilization, James?
Well, I mean, I'm just outside of Boston, so saying it's civilization is a bit of a stretch, but it's good to be back.
All right. In addition, just to keep things from getting too not confusing, we have another James, our Eagle superfan, who, just like the James Texans fan, does not live in the city he roots for. What's up, James, the Eagles fan?
Pretty good. You know, fly, Eagles, fly. Happy offseason, everybody. This is pretty much where teams are made and broken and, you know, for the upcoming season. So I'm looking forward to getting to some discussions between now and opening day.
And last but not least, my trusty, dusty Sunday co-host, Neil, the Washington Redskins superfan. What is going on, Neil?
Hey, Justin, I'm not sure when I was promoted to co-host, and I haven't received anything in the post in the way of a check yet. But I am sitting here tonight watching Georgia Tech at Notre Dame in college basketball, and it's terrible. These two teams are awful, Justin.
Yeah, I don't follow college basketball much. I know that Gonzaga is pretty good, but I think they lost for the first time recently, but that's definitely not my expertise.
That L last night.
Yep. So a lot of people in this area are sad, but I'm not because I don't care. All right, guys, we're going to cover a couple things. We're going to go over the news real quick. Neil will help us with that. Then our topic of the day, we're going to be talking about the pro football focus list of the top 50 NFL free agents. This is a really interesting list. Some of these guys are probably going to stick around. Some are going to get franchised. Some are going to be long gone. So we're going to work through that. And then, just like last week, if we have some time at the end, we'll try and have a little bit of fun in games. If not, we'll just shut it down, save it for next week. So let's go ahead and get started. Neil, what is happening in the world of the NFL?
Well, Justin, do you think this time of the year would be a quiet week? But actually, when I was getting together a little bit of a news report here, it certainly wasn't a quiet week. But we'll start with some sad news. Now, August the 29th, 1951, may not be a date in many NFL fans' calendars, but that was the date that a certain Bernie Custis became the first starting black quarterback in the game. And that was for the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the Canadian League. And sadly, Bernie passed away this week. He was drafted originally in 1951 by the Cleveland Browns, but he was told by Cleveland to go play safety, son, which he thankfully resisted after his stellar college career at Syracuse, and went on to start for one full season for Hamilton at quarterback before moving to running back. And eventually, after a lifetime of coaching, he was inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame for football in 1998. And yeah, sad day, 88 years old. So he had a good innings, as we would say here in Britain. So a bit of sad news on the news front there. In Combine news, we've got the Combine, of course, coming up this week. We found out that Mitch Trubisky, Davis Webb, Pat Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson will all throw at the Combine, which is really unusual for in combine history in recent years, where quarterbacks have decided to do everything else but throw. And we'll see if that forces Deshaun Kizer, the other top-rated quarterback, if he'll do likewise and then throw next week. The combine, of course, starts Tuesday, 28th, right the way through to the following Monday. And that's a big week coming up for us there. In predictable quick hits news, Justin, Tom Coughlin, he wants more toughness from the Jaguars. Jim Harbaugh wants a medal for what he got from the 49ers roster. And Aaron Rodgers claims Tom Brady really is the greatest of all time. In naughty boy news, Matt Elam, Ravens safety and impending free agent. Great timing there, Matt. Was found to be in possession of more than 20 grams of marijuana and was charged with possession with intent to sell or deliver, and possession of a controlled substance, which I believe was oxycodone, which is a painkiller, I think. I'm sure we have none of that going on around here, Justin. He's currently being held in Turner Gilford Knight Correction Center in Miami, which doesn't sound the happiest of places. And other arrest news. Come on, Justin, we've all been here. Oklahoma quarterback and early Heisman favorite next year, Baker Mayfield, had quite the weekend. He was charged with public intoxication, fleeing, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. He was released from Washington County Jail on Sunday. Per a police report, Mayfield was intoxicated. He was seen yelling obscenities and having difficulty walking downstairs when police arrived at 2:29 a.m. Mayfield's clothing was also, and I quote here, covered in food. When the officer asked Mayfield to come towards him, he began to walk away and then sprint away. After the officer eventually tackled Mayfield, something you'll have to get used to playing for Oklahoma, the Sooners quarterback resisted putting his arms behind his back before being handcuffed. Now, come on, relax, Baker. That's just Monty's warm-up for most weekends. And finally, Justin, we have to, well, in these difficult times where we're not all happy with our leaders, our presidents, our prime ministers, we have to hail Iceland's president, 40-year-old Guðni Jóhannesson. He was being quizzed by local pupils in a high school in Iceland when he took on one of the defining questions of the age, Justin, whether pineapples should be allowed on pizzas or not. Guðni said no. If he had the power, he'd ban it. Good man, Guðni. Clearly the hero the world needs right now.
Oh, man.
I think that's unfair about Iceland.
I'm with him on that one. So, James, our Texans fan, any thoughts on any of this week's news?
Well, with the Iceland Prime Minister, you stopped the quote a little soon there. He then advocated for seafood to be on pizza. So you kind of have to call into question, you know, you're going to allow seafood but then criticize pineapple. I think he's just in the pocket of big seafood out there in Iceland and, you know, is trying to work to his constituents.
All right, and what about you, Eagles, James? Any thoughts on this week's news?
Nah, I was a bit shocked and miffed this morning when I saw the Ravens news about Elam. I think yesterday the Jets released Mangold after 11 years. He sent a note out via Twitter, I believe, thanking the fans for his 11 seasons there. Not much to say about that. I do think the leader of Iceland is a little biased towards seafood, but, you know, more of the comments.
I'm with Iceland on that one. I think pineapple should be kept miles and miles away from any sort of pizza. Of those news items, really the one thing that I just kind of wanted to have a thought on, and I think this could be a great topic if we could ever get a guest who's a football historian regarding Bernie Custis. It's such an interesting kind of the history of black quarterbacks in the NFL and how more open the CFL was to them. You know, Bernie Custis was before my time. The closest analog who I can kind of have some sight to is Warren Moon, you know, who played a season here, grew up in the area. He's on our broadcast here. And, you know, here's a guy who had to play a whole bunch of years in the CFL, despite the fact that he was clearly an incredibly talented quarterback. You know, he had a Hall of Fame career in the NFL after a terrific career in the CFL. He's one of those guys where, you know, if he'd been allowed to be an NFL quarterback right out of college, I don't know how far ahead he might still be above everybody in all of the record books. You know, that's a topic that, you know, maybe for another day to dive into kind of that history there, but that's just, you know, something to reflect on with the passing of Bernie Custis and kind of that history. And it's not ancient history, it's pretty recent history, but it's certainly something worth talking about and remembering. So Bernie Custis, a pioneer, a good quarterback, and as I understand, he was a very successful coach in the NFL for a long time after that. So just kind of wanted to share my thoughts.
So Justin, one more piece of news, and that is really just a list of players for you here, and you can tell me what they all have in common. Altjaron Werner, Mario Williams, Mike Tolbert, James Stark, Sam Shields, Jared Audrick, Josh McCown, Leodis McKelvin, Rashard Jennings, Nick Mangold, Justin Gilbert, Nick Folk, Victor Cruz, Kevin Beecham, Ryan Clady.
I'm going to guess they all signed long-term extensions with their teams.
Absolutely. And they're all potential Hall of Famers. No, Justin, I'm afraid not. These are guys who all got cut. And as we move into this discussion about free agents and their massive contracts, there's a number of guys on that list who signed massive free agent contracts. And as we know in the NFL, they're not really worth the paper they're written on.
Yeah, I wonder if any of those names might show up on our list as we come up to it. Speaking of which, now we're going to move on to our main topic, the Pro Football Focus list of the top 50 NFL free agents. Some pretty interesting names on here, some that I think will remain with their team, some who may be finding new homes, some who may be franchised. I believe those are all due by the midpoint of this week. Let's go ahead and start right from the top. Le'Veon Bell. I'll be honest, I don't know if he's going to be back next year. Does anybody have a strong sense on what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell?
I think he's going to be back, personally. This is a guy who pretty much is an every down back, which is rare these days, where we're moving towards two backfields and specialists to do certain things. This guy never comes off the field. He excels, obviously, in running the ball. He's an excellent pass receiver. They split him out wide, and he's good in picking up the blitz. There's no knock on him on the field. It's the off-the-field issues where I think gives the organization pause, where he served what's been, I believe, two different suspensions over the last 2 years for the substance abuse program. And, you know, they don't struggle too much in the last 2 years without him because they had Williams as a backup, former starter who split time in Carolina. But going forward, if he's going to be the workhorse back, he's got to clean up the off-the-field stuff. To stay there. I believe they're doing a wait and see to see how this year turns out. Pittsburgh's an organization that likes to get extensions done in the player's last year of a contract, especially if they want to keep him around. And recently they did do a deal with Antonio Brown to get his deal done. And, you know, the impact that's going to have on Bell is going to be very interesting as we move forward. Whether that gets done this offseason or waits till the end of next season remains to be seen. But this is a player that they cannot afford to lose because he does so much for them.
But they're between a sponge and a soft place here, aren't they? Because it's with his unreliability in terms of his suspensions over the last couple of years. You know what happens? You give this guy a huge contract, and then boom, he gets suspended for another chunk of games, and who knows what goes on from there? It's risky for the Steelers, and the Steelers are not a big team for risk, aren't they? They get by with being solid and consistent. So it's a bit of a tough one for Pittsburgh because he is obviously one of the elite backs in this league. And I say elite, yeah, not really meaning elite. He's a good back.
Just the market for running back is kind of normalized, though. Like you obviously have Adrian Peterson, who's going to get cut by the Vikings. You know, he's due $6 million on March 11th, so he won't be a Viking on March 11th. But, you know, the Lamar Miller deal, you know, it was a team-ish friendly deal where he's basically making $6 million or $6.5 million a year for 2 years guaranteed, and then there's some options in there to take it out to four, just as good as Le'Veon Bell has been. And in addition to the suspensions, I don't believe he's played a full season either between suspension or injury, so, you know, that'll obviously come into the math of it. But, you know, we're not looking at a four-year, $40 million contract for Le'Veon Bell. You know, it might get reported as that, but in practice, it'll end up being probably a two or maybe a three-year deal with around $15 to maybe $20 million guaranteed if that third year gets tacked on there. And, you know, for the Steelers, as bad as Ben Roethlisberger looked on the road last year, you know, he's going to need some help. The organization probably sees the inevitability of Ben declining a little bit. And so that's going to make the running back position just a little bit more important there.
If you were to ask me, Justin, where he plays next year, I would say Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely thing, but I think he's probably a candidate for a franchise tag. I mean, I'm not convinced that they want to tie themselves to him long term, especially with what's supposed to be a really good running back class coming out this year. We're supposed to get really good talent kind of later. This seems almost tailor-made for that. And, you know, between, like, you know, the groin injury at the end of the year, the risk of suspension, I just get the sense that they're not ready to give him that monster contract. All right, number two on the list. I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on him just because we've talked about him a lot lately. They've got Kirk Cousins. Where will Kirk Cousins be next year, and what kind of deal will he have, Neil?
I don't think he'll be in Washington next year, and I think he is likely to be playing either in San Francisco or potentially Cleveland.
Okay, so I'm going to go on the record and say I think you're absolutely nuts. What did the James think about that thought?
Oh, I don't agree with it, Justin. I don't agree with it. But you asked me where I think he'll be playing. That's where I think he'll be playing.
I think the only way that happens is if Washington has some crazy hubris. Oh, wait, Dan Snyder's there. Damn, this might happen.
Wow.
No, I see him playing in Washington as a fan of a team who made a colossal mistake on giving a long-term deal to a very bad quarterback. I'm still going to advocate for them to give him a long-term deal instead of franchising him for the second straight year, although that's probably where this is going to go. It may be interesting as well if they just make a qualifying offer or do some sort of transition tag, if there would be a team that would jump in and give Washington two first-rounders for him. I really see that as the only way he's out of Washington.
All right,
I'm not
going
to comment
too
much on this. I'm just saying that Kurt stays in D.C. because they'd be crazy to get rid of him.
I mean, you've got a top, you know, half the league quarterback. Those things don't grow on trees. Up next, we've got Kawan Short, the defensive lineman for the Carolina Panthers. I don't know. He's a tough one for me. The whole Carolina Panthers defense took a huge step back last year. But before that, he was really, really, really good. He's a guy that I think will still command big money on the open market. I think he'll be back, though. I think that he's probably their most likely guy to franchise tag, and he seems to be more open to it. Than Josh Norman was last year. That being said, I do think he'll be pretty expensive, and I'm not sure where they are as far as the cap is concerned. Anybody else have any thoughts on Kawan Short?
Well, only that they drafted Vernon Butler last year as the same position, so they've got a bit of flexibility there, but I think you'll get franchise tag, Justin. Yeah.
I'm not too sure about the tag. For me, that's up in the air as far as whether they do it or not. I haven't pretty much looked at all of Carolina's free agents to be. But I think Short comes back. He's part of that defensive line rotation that a lot of teams use, you know, seven or eight guys just running them on and off the field at whim, especially if a team is not going to run hurry up. So he's very valuable there. And yeah, the entire defense did take a giant step in the wrong direction this season. Wasn't good for pretty much anybody, save maybe Luke Kuechly and the other linebacker out there. Davis, yes, thank you. The defense as a whole was pretty much abysmal at best and awful at worst. They can't afford to lose anybody on that defense, especially the front seven, which pretty much made the secondary look good a season ago. They just retooled the secondary and, you know, stand pat up front. They should be fine, but I don't see Kawan Short going anywhere next year.
Carolina just re-signed Mario Addison today, defensive end, the pass rusher, so that gives him the flexibility to use the tag on Short.
We'll know by Wednesday if he's getting tagged. Up next, let's talk a little bit about Melvin Ingram, the pass rusher for the Los Angeles Chargers. This is one that is really, really curious to me because he had a great, great year this year. I mean, a really, really good year. But, you know, they just drafted Joey Bosa. So is he a luxury at this point? Does Joey Bosa need him in order to be productive? And any thoughts on this, Texans, James?
Well, I mean, you look at how Denver won the Super Bowl, and you always say, oh, these teams, they now have an abundance of, you know, pass rushers, or they have an abundance of defensive linemen. You know, that's how the Giants won their two Super Bowls. I think having a lot of very good players, you know, that are kind of competing for playing time is not exactly a bad problem to have. You know, looking down the list of the top 50, though, there are quite a few defensive ends or pass rushers on there. So I think the market might not be there like it was for, say, Cameron Wake last year. And so these guys might or will probably be going back to their teams on a slightly better deal. You know, Chargers are an organization that are notoriously player unfriendly. So I think you'd see something like that, or rather wouldn't see something like that if it's something behind the scenes that would drive him away from the team. But there's a lot of defensive ends out there this offseason. So it would be surprising to me to see a bunch of these guys get real big money.
Okay, up next we've got a couple of Cardinals. We have Chandler Jones, who just did his one and only year there. He was traded from the New England Patriots. We also have Calais Campbell. So about half their starting defensive line is up in the air right now. The big red flag for Campbell is really going to be his age. You know, he's an older guy, but he's still a really good player. And Chandler Jones, I think, was absolutely terrific for the Cardinals. A bright spot on an otherwise dismal season for him. As kind of the NFC West fan on the podcast, I think they have to sign a long-term extension with Chandler Jones. I think, you know, you don't trade for him for a one-year rental. I think given his age, he's a guy that you bring in with the intention of keeping him long term. So I think something gets done there. Calais Campbell, though, that I'm not so sure about. He was really, really good last year, but given his age, I don't know. I don't know what their tag situation is around the rest of the team, but he might be a candidate for that almost. I feel like given the age of the stars on that roster, they're trying to keep the band together for one or two more years. And Calais Campbell is a big piece of that. So at least from my perspective, I think extending Chandler Jones is kind of a no-brainer, especially if the market for edge rushers isn't anything super ridiculous this year. And then just trying to hold on to Calais Campbell if you can. What do you guys think?
I actually agree with you. Chandler Jones is probably the more logical of the two to be re-signed as opposed to Calais Campbell. And pretty much the main thing, like you also mentioned, is his age. Chandler Jones played well last year for Arizona. Did he make the Pro Bowl? I can't remember if he was on the Pro Bowl team or not. But I know he was up amongst the league leaders in sacks, Chandler Jones, that is. But, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think Jones is back and Campbell's pretty much up in the air.
All right, we're going to start moving in groups now that we've gotten through kind of the top five or six. So running out the rest of the top 10 on the Pro Football Focus list of the top 50 NFL free agents, we've got Jason Pierre-Paul for the New York Giants, Eric Berry for the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin Zeitler for the Cincinnati Bengals, and T.J. Lang for the Green Bay Packers. So out of that group, let's go ahead and go with you, James, our Eagles fan. Anything jump out to you? Who do you think is definitely leaving? Who's definitely staying? Who do you have an opinion on?
Just take two here. Eric Berry is interesting because another name we'll see on the list later on is Dontari Poe. And one of those two guys is going to get franchised. Eric Berry was franchised, I believe, last year. He doesn't want to get the franchise tag again. He's verbally come out and said that if he gets franchised, he's not staying or he's not going to accept the offer. T.J. Lang is the other name I pretty much want to comment, give my two cents on. The Packers' offensive line is a bit of an enigma for me because while they look good in pass protection, and most of that's probably just what Aaron Rodgers does behind the line of scrimmage, they tend to struggle in run blocking. So I don't know if T.J. Lang is going to stick around or not. Grant, interior linemen are hard to come by, probably more harder than just as hard as tackles. But interior linemen pretty much make the bread and butter run, you know, in the running game and generating, you know, running lanes for the backs. And the running game for Green Bay has pretty much been non-existent the last couple of years, in no small part to Eddie Lacy, another Packer who's on this list as well. But up front, they've got to probably change some things in that line to get more balance and run versus pass. But that's pretty much all I got for those two.
All right. What do you think of this group here, Neil?
I think the interior guys, Zeitler and Lang, they'll be much sought after. So a lot of teams needing guards. I think we often have conversations, don't we, about the lack of interior offensive linemen, quality interior offensive linemen in the league. So they'll be highly sought after. And hey, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jason Pierre-Paul rock up in Dallas next year.
That's an interesting thought. What do you think, James?
Yeah, the JPP is gone from the Giants. I think he wasn't super thrilled with how they handled the whole firework incident, you know, whether that's on the organization or on him for, you know, creating the incident in the first place. And then I think he's going to get a nice little resurgence. Is kind of how Dwight Freeney did down in Arizona the past 2 years. He'll just go out and be a mercenary trying to, you know, he's already got his rings and almost more rings than fingers he knows what to do with. So, you know, he'll go out, have some fun, make some money, and, you know, play for a contender. It's going to be very aggravating when the Patriots sign him for like $3 million because that's the kind of player that they seem to get for next to nothing.
Oh, man, that's the last thing we need to see him make a big playoff sack for the New England Patriots and give one of his buddies a high three. All right.
How long have you been preparing that joke?
I wrote that joke 2 years ago. Been saving it for today. Anyway, all right. So through the tens and teens as a group, and we'll kind of go around the horn on those. We've got Dont'a Hightower of the New England Patriots. Is it Stephen or Stephen Gilmore of the Bills? Alshon Jeffrey. There's a pretty big name there. Wide receiver of the Chicago Bears. AJ Bowie of the Texans. At least one of you has opinions on him because he's a fascinating guy. Nick Perry of the Packers, Andrew Whitworth of the Bengals, Daron Harmon of the Patriots, Brandon Williams of the Ravens, Tony Jefferson of the Cardinals, and Terrell Pryor of the Cleveland Browns. This group right here, a lot of intrigue. So let's go ahead and start with you, James, our Texans fan. tell us a little bit about AJ Bouye, who a lot of people may not know his name, but he's had a great, great year. And then sort of your thoughts on this group in general.
Yeah, he definitely decided to play a great season of football that he can cash in on now. Texans, I'm guessing, are going to use the franchise tag on him. They don't often use the franchise tag, so that'll be a bit of a surprise or a bit of a step out of their normal operating. And sadly, I think Jonathan Joseph might end up being a casualty because of that. Texans don't have a lot of cap room. AJ Bouye is a up-and-coming cornerback as opposed to Jonathan Joseph, who, he's been great for the franchise, but you see it with, like, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie or Darrelle Revis, that these aging quarterbacks, they're really good until all of a sudden they're not. And I was nervous going into the season with the inexperienced Bouye and and worried that Joseph would kind of fall off of a cliff. And it's going to be great if we can get him back, or hopefully we can keep him. Outside of that, I imagine that the Patriots are going to keep Hightower somehow, some way. He's just a good every down player that, again, it's the type of player that they hold on to. I'm a little surprised that he's getting to free agency as opposed to when they'll usually sign guys a little bit ahead of time, get a little bit of a discount on them. And then outside of that, just the sheer number of Patriots that are on this is aggravating, because it almost guarantees that they're going to be getting several compensatory picks next year when a lot of these guys go.
Yeah, that's kind of the magic of losing free agents. I mean, my team picked up 2 third-rounders this year, which is, you'll get real good players in the third round. So that's huge for us. All right, let's move on to the other James. Any names here stick out to you? There's definitely a few that stick out to me.
Definitely off the top, because of the situation my team's going to be in this offseason, Alshon Jeffery and Terrell Pryor, the wide receivers on this list, because as we saw, the Eagles need help at wide receiver. I do have concerns with Alshon Jeffery. He hasn't played a full season due to injury, and last season he missed 4 games due to substance abuse. I believe he was taking a supplement that was on the banned list. Plus, the quarterbacking situation was horrid last year. We don't need to go into our opinions on that. That'll play itself out later. I am more so intrigued, though, by Terrell Pryor in the season he had in Cleveland. I don't understand completely what they do as a franchise as far as how they decide to keep players and let them go. But I believe there were 5 former Browns in the Super Bowl who had some significant impact one way or the other, either throughout the playoffs or in that game alone playing for either the Patriots or the Falcons. And off the top of my head, Taylor Gabriel comes to mind with the impact he had once he was available to play for Atlanta, stretching the field deep. And Pryor he's big, he's fast, he has great hands. He's showing that throughout the season. So I expect both these guys to command a lot of attention in the open market. I don't expect Pryor to be back with Cleveland. And depending on what happens with the quarterbacking situation in Chicago, Alshon Jeffery's not coming back to Chicago. I think he hits the market just to try to latch on with a contender or at least an up-and-coming team he believes can win. I know my squad is probably going to make a run at one or both of them. As far as you mentioned with the Patriots who are available, they tend to find diamonds in a rough in free agency. Now, Dante Hightower, I do expect to be back. That's a signal caller on defense. But Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback of the Bills, something the Patriots haven't really been that great at in drafting secondary people, might be a name that they look at in the offseason if they let go of both starting corners between Mitchell and Ryan.
All right, what are your thoughts, Neil?
Well, I wonder where Andrew Whitworth will end up, 35-year-old offensive tackle. Could be quite valuable, even though he's 35, still playing at a really high level. Could be really useful for somebody like Seattle, Justin. And certainly Washington, I've got to be interested, I think, in number 18 there, Brandon Williams, the defensive tackle nose tackle from Baltimore. They might try and re-sign him, of course, but I'd like him at Washington. And yeah, hey, Alshon Jeffery to Philadelphia. Surely that is absolutely locked in.
What's that based off of? I haven't heard anything about Alshon to Philly.
Well, they're the one team in the NFL who don't have any wide receivers currently.
That is true.
The Browns take offense to that statement, Neil, as do the 49ers.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure DeSean Jackson going back there is pretty much a done deal at this point. So I was actually going to ask
I don't think so. We'll get
actually,
to him.
Actually, it's not.
I don't think so.
It's really not a done deal. There's intrigue. There's intrigue. The organization in Philadelphia is not really openly committed on DeSean Jackson coming back. There have been a few people in the front office anonymously saying, you know, it'd be great to have him back. He's even said it'd be a great story to come back. But no one's really committed towards the other as far as, yeah, we're definitely bringing this guy back to Philadelphia. Right now, she's all
speculation. Yeah, nobody's committed to tampering yet because he's still on a roster.
Of course.
But
I mean, well, he can say it because, I mean, he's not going to be held to anything as far as, like, going back. All he said was, it'd be a great story. He's not said, I'm going to Philadelphia. If they've even asked him about the list of teams he wants to come back to, I believe an article I read in the beginning of the month said that he would love to come back to Washington. But yeah, we all know they're going to cut him. Where he goes is up in the air because I believe, what, he's 30 years old? So, granted, yes, he still has the speed, but he had quite a few hamstring injuries last year. I believe he missed, what, 2 games last season, Neil, did a hamstring?
Yeah, he never plays a whole season.
Right. So that's going to be an issue as well when you have a speed guy who can't stay healthy. And, you know, he did calm down with his tenure in Washington because he was still antagonistic when he first got there, complaining about not getting the ball enough because mostly he runs deep clear out routes for guys underneath to get the ball. So right now he's a glorified decoy at this point in his career. You see him on the field, you respect his speed, you kind of back off everybody else, they become open. Whether he gets the targets or not, wherever he goes is going to be a problem because if he's not getting the ball, he's not going to be happy.
Yeah, I would say that in the last 18 months, he certainly calmed down, became a real team player, which was a real change for him in his career. Justin, I think if we're talking Jackson now, I would say his most likely landing spot, I would say, is probably Tampa.
Interesting. That would be interesting.
That would be
him
nice
opposite
one.
Mike
that
Evans
would be
could
nice.
Be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a really, really good situation. Just last week, I was talking about how much I wish they had a second wide receiver outside of Mike Evans. Of this group, obviously, the name I really like is Andrew Whitworth. Boy, I would love to see him come this way. I mean, this is an interesting year because there's a lot of quality, or what has been very quality left tackles on the market. It's really a buyer's market with tackles this year. My hope is that the Seahawks spend a little bit of money to get one. My sense is that they won't. That's just not the way that they play ball. But man, if you could get an Andrew Whitworth or some of these other guys that are out there in Seattle, I would love that so much. Moving on to the next group, though, we've got Larry Warford, guard for the Detroit Lions, Chris Baker, who you're familiar with from the Washington Redskins, Ronald Leary, the halftime starter, guard for the Dallas Cowboys, Jermaine Johnson, the best quarterback from the Rams, Dontari Poe, who we talked about a little bit, Logan Ryan from the Patriots, Jabal Sheard from the Patriots, Martellus Bennett from the Patriots. Really, who's not a Patriot on here? DeSean Jackson, who we talked about a bit, and then Morris Claiborne from the Dallas Cowboys. So let's go ahead and go right back to you, Neil, since you got some of you guys on this list. What do you think is going to happen with Chris Baker and everybody out of this group?
Yeah, I think Chris Baker, he was our best defensive lineman, which is not saying much when you look at Washington's defensive line, but he was the best of a bad bunch. I don't think he'll be back. I think he'll test free agency and somebody will pick him up and get a really good, solid player who has shown over the last couple of years that he has a bit of interior pass rush, which, of course, is much sought after. He'll get a good deal, I would think, somewhere in the league, but not for Washington. The guy I find interesting here is Dontari Poe. And where he's going to end up going, because he's 25 on this list, but I would think he probably should be higher on this list. Really, still a young guy, 27 years old. Yeah, good nose tackle, valuable player. Not sure, but he'll go somewhere. I don't think the Chiefs will keep him.
Yeah, according to Pro Football Focus, he played over 1,000 snaps this year. That is a lot. That's a durable nose tackle.
Well, Justin, 1,000 snaps means he's playing more than the nose tackle position. I don't know where else he's playing, but there won't be many teams out there who play 1,000 snaps for a nose tackle at the nose tackle position.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. It's not as though, you know, you're lining up against just run plays over 1,000 on over 1,000 plays. But, you know, they keep him inside as an interior pass rusher, and he's actually got some nice push in there. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a really, really good player. I think that he's basically... you know, he came into the league as one of those prospects who had a lot of talent but was fairly raw. And so I think he potentially could even improve further. He's a really, really fascinating guy. Speaking of fascinating, let's go ahead and throw it over to our world traveling James is a Texans fan. Who out of this group is interesting to you?
Well, I'm glad Neil brought up Dontari Poe, because we have Vince Wilfork, a very large presence at nose tackle that will likely be retiring this season. So I would not mind bringing Dontari Poe down. And then Trumaine Johnson, to me, is interesting just because the Rams are very bad at managing people and money, as evidenced by the Tavon Austin deal. And so going back to the A.J. Bouye thing, I'm very worried that they're going to sign Trumaine Johnson to some very stupid market-setting contract that A.J. Bouye will then be able to work into a better deal for himself, or just cost, you know, us more money. Also, I mean, the Rams let Chinoris Jenkins walk last year, which made sense. They just didn't have the cap room for both him and Johnson. Again, it would not shock me for the Rams to mismanage this situation and let Trumaine Johnson walk.
What about you, Eagles, James?
I want to start with Martellus Bennett. And even though he's a free agent, I don't think he goes anywhere. The Patriots, you know, their heyday, well, I'm not going to say their heyday, and it was a long time ago, but just recently they had Gronkowski and the Jailbird currently pretty much cause fits for opposing defenses when both tight ends were on the field. And with Martellus Bennett, he's a nice insurance policy for Gronkowski. If he has to sit out a game or two here or there, he filled in, you know, admirably at the end of the season when Gronk was out. Granted, he had his own little, you know, nagging injury. If he's healthy in the offseason, I see him going back to New England, mainly because New England probably wants to get back to more of a two tight end set and just make defenses decide, you know, pick your poison, which one are you going to cover? I mean, both, you know, Bennett and Gronk are, you know, massive targets, nightmares for any defense to, you know, cover when one of them's on the field. But trying to go up against both of them with, you know, wide receiver skills, it is pretty much not something that most coordinators want to look forward to. The second thing I want to get to on this, in this group, is the number of defensive backs here. And, you know, with Morris Claiborne in Dallas, I think he's gone. So that's going to open the door, especially with a couple of other members of that secondary leaving Dallas. I believe Jerry Jones has said towards, you know, the end of the season, or at least after they lost their playoff game, that retooling the secondary is probably going to be a big focus of their offseason. Guys like Logan Ryan and Trumaine Johnson pretty much spring to the top of my mind right here. There's going to be some other names on the list that we're going to come across, especially in the next group with Prince Amukamara. So they're going to be looking at every defensive back available in free agency to retool that secondary, because those guys, I believe, were dead last in the league or near the bottom of the league as far as interceptions. While they may be good coverage guys, they don't tend to attack the ball too much based on what I've seen this last season. And, you know, man-to-man in the NFC East going up against, you know, receivers like, you know, what Washington has in their, you know, had last season with Jackson and Garcon, and the Giants when they had Cruz and Beckham Jr. when Cruz was healthy, you know, you could see those wide receivers just running through Dallas' secondary at will. Granted, they still need a pass rush to help out the secondary, but at times you need the secondary to step up and make plays, and there weren't many, if any, for the Cowboys secondary this season. So the defensive backs in this group is pretty much where my eye is on going into free agency. So
yeah, I think that's really well said. I'm a little afraid of Morris Claiborne. You know, he was really a bust for the first 4 years of his career before he had a really good start to 2016, where kind of the entire Dallas Cowboys really overperformed expectations on defense. So I'm a little worried that, you know, he was kind of caught up in that wash, and that's all sort of smoke and mirrors. Of this group, though, the guy that I really like, and this may become a theme with me, Ronald Leary, the guard of the Dallas Cowboys, he's really, really
Justin.
Good player.
No, he's not.
What, Ronald Leary?
He's rubbish. Yeah, he's terrible.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're out of your mind. All right,
maybe.
All right, your team, for some reason, was able to, like, penetrate that offensive line. But Ronald Leary played really, really well this year. They kind of mentioned this in their article, that people see him as one of their kind of backup guards. But he was the guy who was the starting guard before Lael Collins came in. And Lael Collins ended up getting hurt, and Ronald Leary stepped back in. And he was super, super solid, according to them, to Pro Football Focus. Didn't allow a single sack all season. And he was an excellent run blocker. This is a guy that you know, he can contribute wherever, and he ended up having to play a lot of snaps. He's been a season-long starter before. He was just displaced by a younger guy. So if you take off your Redskins-colored glasses, which I'm not sure if that's something you should wear this day and age, I think he's a really good contributor and would do well on a lot of teams in this league.
Well, there's at least, what, three, if not four guards ahead of him on this list? And that tells your story. No. Go for one of the other guards. Don't go for him, Justin. He's not going to... Well, he'll upgrade your unit, but then I'd upgrade your unit.
All right. Just moving on to the next group. We've got Prince Amukamara, Pierre Garçon, Kenny Britt, Barry Church, safety for the Dallas Cowboys, J.C. Treader, the center for the Green Bay Packers, Ricky Wagner, tackle for the Baltimore Ravens, Jonathan Cyprian, safety for the Jaguars, John Simon, edge rusher for the Houston Texans, Mario Addison, I think we said earlier, was re-signed today, so he's off of this list, and then James Harrison, who, let's just go ahead and call, and say it, if he's not a Steeler, he's not playing this year. Let's be very upfront about that. So let's go ahead and go right back to our Eagles superfan, James. Out of this next 10, who's intriguing to you?
I'm going to jump from the DBs this time and not pick on the Cowboys again. Let's look at some of more of these offensive linemen. I'm looking at J.C. Treader of the Green Bay Packers. And I did mention earlier when we were briefly talking about the guard who was at the top of the list for them, their run game. You know, this he's got over 1,000 snaps in his career. I know he's not necessarily this – I don't believe he was the starter this season, but he did fill in from time to time. Backup offensive linemen are hard to come by. We've seen a lot of teams suffer when a starter goes down, especially with my team, once we had to lose Lane Johnson for the year, and then, you know, backups come in and fill that role. We had a rookie whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce right now, fill in the spot, you know, and it took him some time to get a feel for the game. And even after, you know, he finally got into a vibe with the rest of the offensive line, other players went down elsewhere. And, you know, like I said, just using my team as an example, but when you lose one guy, sometimes it seems like a domino effect. You could lose other guys at other positions, and by the end of the season, you look up and it's like, oh, we've only had two guys start all 16 games, or maybe three guys play every single snap, or maybe, you know, these two guys are the best offensive linemen because they only miss two snaps all season because, you know, maybe kneel down to the end of the game or whatever. But J.C. Treader is intriguing here because he could be a starter somewhere else for a team that's in desperate need for starting center. And center is key now, where we have a lot of young and up-and-coming quarterbacks where the offensive line, the center, is the signal caller for blitz pickup and protection schemes. So if you don't have a top-notch center, or at least an adequate center who's able to make all those calls, I mean, it could wreak havoc. And, you know, Atlanta almost had a scare in the Super Bowl with their center who went in pretty much on what was deemed a fractured leg. So, you know, he played well, but he didn't play great for the entire game. And towards the end, you could see how that was impacting on him. So I'm going to go with J.C. Treader here, my player to watch in this group.
All right, Neil, let's throw it your way. What are your thoughts on this group?
Yeah, I agree with James there. J.C. Treader, he's going to be on Washington's radar, I'm sure. Our guy who's, well, he's only played 1,000 snaps in his career, so he's still fresh. Obviously, we've got Pierre Garçon here on the list. Somebody who I don't think will be back in Washington either. Good player. Still, he got 1,000 yards this past season. And he'll do a good job for somebody in the league, but not here. I think we may see Kenny Britt get a lot of attention. And he should be higher up this list. He had 1,000 yards this season, Justin. And that was from Case Keenum and Jared Goff, which is probably the equivalent of 2,500 yards with a half-decent quarterback. And you look down this list, and I'd like to ask Texans James, John Simon, is that the John Simon who was originally drafted by Baltimore? And, well, if he is or if he isn't, is he a guy worth looking at as an edge rusher?
Oh, he's definitely a guy worth looking at. He stepped up in the preseason when it was questionable whether Watt was going to be back or not. He was part of the reason why the Texans were able to kind of forego any drafting of defensive players because they had that depth at the edge. I would like to see him back. I don't know. I mean, just based on the sheer number of defensive rushers available, it's possible he will come back. I'm not super sold. I've got two questions for you, though, Neil, because so far we have DeSean Jackson, Kirk Cousins, and now Pierre Garçon all leaving Washington. I mean, they had a very good offense last year. You've got Jordan Reed up there who's a constant question mark on if he's going to be able to play or not. Like, are you guys going to do a hard reset on your offense? I don't think your defense is quite good enough to rely solely on that. And the other thing is, I'm going to have to disagree that there's a market for Kenny Britt because Jeff Fisher is out of the NFL now. So until Jeff Fisher gets on with a team, there's not somebody to really advocate for Kenny Britt being a good receiver.
Yeah, it's a sad day when it's Jeff Fisher who turns you that offensive guru who who transformed Kenny Britt. But hey, Jeff Fisher will be back. Don't you worry about that. In terms of Washington's offense, yeah, I mean, they're hoping Doxson comes in and starts next year. He missed obviously almost his whole rookie year through injury. So they'll be looking at him. They've got Jamison Crowder in the slot. And they like the two young receivers they have, Harris and Grant. So they'll probably get more of a chance next year. And, when he's on the field, of course, Jordan Reed is sensational. So maybe see a young tight end come in. But, yeah, you got to hope that that Reed plays. In terms of the quarterback, I mean, we've gone through that. I'd like to see Cousins back. I just don't think he will be back because I just don't think the front office likes him very much. So we'll see. Yeah, probably a bit of a reset there. And you're right, our defense needs considerable work indeed. So maybe we'll be chasing Mr. Simon there.
No, it's just weird because it seems like you guys are very close at the top, and you know your offense has definitely taken a lot of steps forward. It just seems like it'd be kind of foolish on management's part, but we've covered that earlier in this podcast as well. Them and their hubris.
Well, one more thing to say about that, James, is that a lot of the excitement through the offense last season and the season before was really through Gruden's offense, which is an offense which spreads the ball far and wide. I think, was it 13 players who got a touchdown pass this year from Cousins. So he is throwing the ball around in that offense, and maybe the offense is the main reason as opposed to the players.
All right, we're going to move on to our last 10. Let's crank through these guys. We've got DJ Swearinger, safety for the Arizona Cardinals, Bradley McDougal, safety for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Eddie Lacy, there's a pretty big name on a pretty big guy, running back for the Green Bay Packers. DeMarcus Ware for the Denver Broncos. Charles Johnson for the Carolina Panthers. Jonathan Hankins for the New York Giants. Dre Kirkpatrick for the Cincinnati Bengals. Steve Wisniewski, who Greg, our Steelers super fan, was kind enough to remind me is making something like his, I don't know, 10th, 11th, or 11th consecutive appearance on this list. Captain Munnerlin, cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings, and Mike Glennon, who I'm still convinced is at least 30% giraffe, will round out our top 50. So let's go to James, our Texan super fan. What do you think of this list? What do you think about the fact that DJ Swearinger is being cast in a positive light on this list?
Wow.
Well, I mean, it helps, I guess, when you play for the Arizona Cardinals defense, which was quite good. Good for him. Yay, bounce back stories. Kind of, you know, we brought it up before, just how many cornerbacks and members of the secondary are on this list. If we end up having to get rid of Jonathan Joseph, I would be very interested in bringing in Dre Kirkpatrick. Man, it's almost like I can talk. But yeah, and then like Mike Glennon is just like that quarterback that always is available. You know, last year it was like Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, it's just kind of a guy that they feel obligated to put at a QB on this list when in reality the top QBs available are going to be like Tony Romo and, you know, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo if the price is right, A.J. McCarron. You know, it's kind of a guy. It'd be good if you are like the Chicago Bears. You're more than 1 year away from competing, and you just need somebody to go out there, look competent, and get your team like 5-ish wins. So you're still picking in the top 5, but you at least look respectable in how bad you play. And then It'll be interesting to see where Eddie Lacy ends up. You know, he's had a much maligned past couple of seasons. I don't think that that's going to be too big of a shock to see him move on from Green Bay. It'd be really interesting to see how the market for him compares to the market for Adrian Peterson once he hits the open market. And I think Peterson would be a good match for you up in Seattle, or he would even be a very good person to replace Eddie Lacy over in Green Bay.
That actually would be really interesting. We might witness the end of our Vikings super fan if that were to happen. Let's go over to other James Eagles fan. What do you think of this group here?
Pretty much, I think the majority of this group stays put with their respective teams. You guys mentioned Swearinger. He looked great in Arizona's defense, but, you know, they had a package out there this last season where they were most effective with six DBs on the field, and he was one of them. So I think he stays put for the most part, along with everyone else on this list. The names that jump out, Eddie Lacy, he touched on a little bit, and, you know, we don't need to go into the history. He had a great first couple of years. Then his weight was an issue, and last year was injury. So I definitely think he goes back to Green Bay, probably at, you know, mid-level to low-end market value for running backs. DeMarcus Ware, I think, is the one outlier in this group. I think he goes back to Dallas. He went to Denver. He got a Super Bowl ring, you know, which pretty much his main reason for going out there. And Jones has pretty much said that, you know, he did have a little regret for how things ended, you know, when he had, you know, when he made the decision to cut DeMarcus Ware several years ago. So, and they're in desperate need of a pass rusher. Now, whether DeMarcus can be completely healthy enough to play, say, 14 games minimum for Dallas next season, if that's where he ends up, will be the big question, considering he missed, I believe, at least 4 games this year with back injuries in Denver. So, if he wants to play, I think he goes back to Dallas, plays out probably a 1, maybe 2-year contract, and just retires because, again, he's got his ring. He's one of the best in the league over his span in the league. And that'd be the end of that one. But yeah, for the, Mike Glennon is the other question mark on this list. I look at him in the same way, like teams are going to look at him as young and not really having a chance, but he was part of that previous regime that was there in Tampa Bay before they went out and drafted Jameis Winston. And he was basically the stopgap until they found their quarterback. And now that they have Winston, he's expendable. His contract's up. And I feel like a lot of teams want to make a run at him in lieu of looking at what's in the draft or what's in free agency, because he's taken, you know, snaps in the NFL and there's tape on him playing against NFL defenses. And that can pretty much get out of hand in overvaluing, you know, this guy, because even while he was a starter, he still had, you know, the same receiving core and didn't really do much for them as far as helping them out, getting the ball in the best situations. I still think he's rusty and rough around the edges. I was kind of surprised to see him on the list when other quarterbacks we know will hit the market are significantly better, but we'll see. I don't there will be somebody who makes a run at him, but ultimately he may just wind up back in Tampa Bay as Winston's backup.
All right, and let's throw it your direction. Neil, what are your thoughts?
Well, the only one I would really have a thoughts on here would be Jonathan Hankins. I think Hankins struggled last season because they brought in Snacks Harrison to play his position, and he was moved around. I think if he gets back to nose tackle, then he could have a bounce back year, and he'll be probably quite sought after, a bit like Poe, the Kansas City player. The other thing I'd notice here, Justin, is that I don't see any Seattle Seahawks on this list. What does that say about your declining roster?
It says that we don't have any significant pending free agents. Literally none.
I mean, you don't have a player who is better than Bradley McDougald.
Not one who is leaving the team. No, not at all. The front office has done a tremendous job setting it up. I mean, I think our biggest pending free agent is probably our kicker, Steven Hauschka, but who's, you know, basically been replaced by Blair Walsh. I mean, there's nobody. I mean, everybody's coming back next year. Everybody's on fairly friendly deals at this point.
Over under 3.5 days of free agency before you sign Stefan Wisniewski.
Oh man, I wish that that would be nice.
Thanks, guy.
Yeah, that would be tremendous. But that's that's just not really how this team operates on the offensive line, much to my chagrin.
Have you reached out to Russell or have you reached out to Okun's agent? I hear he's good at making team friendly deals.
Yeah, you know what though? Can we all agree that Russell Okun just has a complete moron for an agent? I mean, just a terrible, terrible.
Well, yeah, but on the other hand, Justin, he did get $8 million for one season and complete free agency at the end of it.
Yeah, but he's going into free agency looking like a worse prospect than he did last year.
The agent's not responsible for his play.
Well, in this case, however.
In this case, it is. he did save himself the 10% or whatever the agent's fee is.
3%.
yeah, he's a cautionary tale for sure. All right, so real quick before we put these top 50 free agents to bed, I'm just going to go to each one of you real quick and just throw out a couple of these names who you think are going to get tagged. Let's start with you, Texans James.
I'm going to say Bouye is going to get tagged. It would not shock me for the Rams to tag Johnson. Yeah, I mean, I know there's going to be others on there. Those are the two that kind of hopped out.
And what about you, our Eagles super fan, James?
I'm going to stick with the Chiefs between Dontari Poe and Eric Berry. One of them will get tagged. And if it's Barry, he won't be happy.
And how about you, Neil?
Well, I'm going to say Cousins gets tagged, Bell gets tagged, Short, Jones, Barry, Hightower, Bouye, Terrell Pryor, and somewhere out there, somebody will franchise tag a punter.
What?
Yeah, that seems to happen every year, some kind of kicker somewhere.
Yep.
I agree. I mean, it won't be all the names on the list. I think you see the franchise tag get used less and less nowadays. But I do tend to think that we're going to see, you know, at least a small handful of them. I think Bell and Cousins both make a lot of sense. I think that Chandler Jones, if they don't work out a deal with him, you almost have to tag him. But I just feel like they have to work one out with him. What about, would anybody do Martellus Bennett at $9 million on a franchise tag?
No.
No. Real quick, though, you say not a lot of teams use the franchise tag. I think the number of teams that use the franchise tag has remained roughly the same, but the number of players that end up playing out the deal on the franchise tag is what's gone down. So, yeah. Like last year, I think you had 14 teams that used the franchise tag, but you ended up only having maybe three or four players that played out their franchise tender. So I guess the question is, if we put the over-under at, say, 13.5 teams that use the franchise tag, I'd say over slightly, but my guess is that you're only going to have, you know, if we did 5.5 for the over-under on number of players that actually played their year on the contract, I would be very tempted to take the under on that.
Yeah, I think the franchise tag is, Justin, is quite, James is absolutely spot on. It's more of a sort of like a holding pen, if you like, for players. You know, tag the guy, and then you can decide whether you're going to trade him, cut him, long-term deal him, do all that stuff. You've got to, what, July? Is it the middle of July or first week of July? You've got to sort out some sort of deal or trade. So just to ensure you have the exclusive rights on the player, tag him.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair point. It does kind of, it sort of extends that exclusive negotiating window. So you have more time and it gives you an opportunity to see how your draft shakes out, see how free agency shakes out. So there is kind of a extended decision-making process when you do it that way. So that
or
I think that's
use,
a really good point, and that's a really,
you can
really
use
good point.
Or you can use the non-exclusive tag also to sort of see what sort of market is out there for the guy before you do a long-term deal.
Yeah, if you market and you don't love them, you know, draft picks are real valuable.
But that can be dicey.
The Vikings, they give them away like their candy.
But that can be dicey, though, that non-exclusive tag and the transition tag that a lot of teams use. I think sometimes when they do that, one of those two, they tend to get a little too cute with it. And then when the player ends up signing that deal with another team, when another team swoops in and signs that player to a long-term deal, that team is just left there with the, you know, with their pants around their ankles, like, what the hell just happened? So some teams try not to use the franchise tag. Right. And, you know, and it comes to bite them in the butt because it's like, oh, yeah, we'll just use this tag because, you know, there's a good chance he's going to come back, and those odds aren't necessarily in their favor. Another team sees this as an opportunity, like, hey, we can upgrade at this position. We'll take this player, and whatever the penalty is as far as draft pick compensation, we'll give that up and sign this player, you know, to a long-term deal. and that player's pretty, you know, that team is void at this key position because they thought this player was really going to come back to them. So that's a dicey area for some teams to play with, and more times than not, they tend to get burnt in the end.
Well, it's dicey if you have a stupid front office, like Denver did it with C.J. Anderson last year, and then they made such a low qualifying offer that Miami was able to match the offer very quickly. It's like everything in the NFL. If your front office is rather suspect, you don't want them using those tags. But if you have a fairly solid front office, then, you know, go nuts on those tags. They're going to be smart enough about the offer they put forward so that they at least get fair value in return should that player leave.
All right, all good points. So that's going to do it for us today. We are officially out of time, so I'm going to shut the show down right here. I want to thank all of the super fans for joining me today. James, our Texans fan, if people want to hear more of your crazy thoughts, assuming you're anywhere near the internet, where can they find you?
Twitter at @Boiler_James, and then occasionally I even put stuff out on our WordPress site. I've got something for this week. I'll see if I can actually get it done, though, so be on the lookout for that.
All right. How about James, our Eagles fan?
I will most likely be putting something on the site in March after the tags come out and see who gets tagged, who's officially released for free agency, and probably going over a few things as far as best fits for teams at certain positions.
How about you, Neil?
Well, we're going to be doing draft stuff soon, Justin. I've just done my draft board today and my first round mock. And honestly, it was killing me at the end, that thing. But you can find me at NeilSalmon71.
And you can find me at Koris. That's my last name. That's @KOREIS. You can follow the show at NFU Podcast. If you want to hear us talk about something, you have questions, comments, go ahead and send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. Please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold. Those things really go a long way towards making us more visible. Speaking of that, we would certainly appreciate any likes, shares, anything like that you want to do. Tell your friends about us. This show is something that we really enjoy. I think we offer a really unique perspective, being able to bring in people who know individual teams really, really well. I will say myself, I was listening to a more national voice talk about the Seahawks specifically this week, and I had a couple of frustrations, just some gaps in knowledge that you get when you have to cover all the teams rather than having people so focused on individual teams. But that's just my two cents. We're looking for a couple of super fans. The Buccaneers, who we talked about a little bit today, could use a super fan, as could the Detroit Lions and a couple of others. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Next Fan Up Podcast. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.